The story that we began with last Sunday morning and we're going to begin with again today. Not going to read the entire story, but Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer about 3 p.m. and as they were going to the temple, they passed a beggar, a man who is asking them for money. They stopped. They looked at the man. And he gave them his attention, expecting that they were going to give something to him. In verse 6, Peter spoke and he said to the man, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you." He had something a lot better than money to give him. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet and he began to walk. He went into the temple courts walking and jumping and praising God. Woo! When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now jump quickly over to the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 13. A little bit later, Peter and John were standing before the Jewish council called the Sanhedrin, and When the Sanhedrin saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. What is going on here, church, with these guys? Miracles are taking place. There's a boldness in their lives and in their witness. And look at the words that are used. What happened? Wonder and amazement. They were astonished. There was an incredible transformation that took place in the lives of Peter and John and the disciples. I mean, just a few days prior, they had been ordinary, regular guys with the flaws and the weaknesses and the limitations, just like you and me. But now, everything has changed. Peter and John and the rest of the disciples are different men and women. They had a new passion. They had a new purpose. They had a new power in their ministry. And what was it that made this huge difference in their lives, in their ministry, and indeed in the entire early church? It was the infilling of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Their lives were completely changed by the power and the anointing of the Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they were full of the Spirit. And so today we're going to go a little bit further in this message that I shared last Sunday morning entitled "Filled with the Spirit." And this is part 2. Lord, you are in the house. Yes, Lord, we came today to attend Gateway Assembly. We came to see our friends, be with our brothers and sisters, be in the house of God. But most importantly, we came to have an encounter with Christ. We came to be in the presence of the living God. We came to receive more of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you will now have your way. We have invited and welcomed you into this place. The presence and power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you are here. Fill us, Lord. Change us, Lord. Set us on fire, Lord. God, one more time, I ask for the anointing, the empowering of the Holy Spirit to enable me to preach your word, that it would challenge and change and inspire your people today, me included, in Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we began this message about the infilling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and we noted that everything that happened to Peter and John and the disciples can still happen today to you and me. And as the lives and the ministry of the apostles in the early church were changed by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, my friend, your life as a believer, your life can be changed by being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the truth is this. The same power of the Spirit that was available to them is still available to you. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on the believers gathered there in the upper room, and the disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with the power of the Spirit. We're going to continue this message. As the Bible clearly teaches that the baptism in the Holy Spirit was not just for then and for them. It wasn't just for the disciples in the early church. It continues today and is intended and available for you and me. And the pattern that began with Jesus continued with the disciples and extends to us. And I want to ask you, do you want more of God in your life? Do you desire the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you need the power of the Spirit in you today? I know I sure do. So let's take a look first at some of the things that we talked about last week. And then let's continue and go a little further and a little deeper. Let's start with a summary of some of the important things that we learned last week before we continue on. First, we noted that the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts are directly connected with each other. That they literally, and we showed this by looking specifically at the Scriptures, and not going to go back and do that again. You can get the CD from last week if you want to, or listen to it on the website. But they are really are Luke and Acts one book. They're literally volumes 1 and 2 of the same book. And this connection, we noted, shows that the infilling and the baptism and the Holy Spirit followed a pattern that was established by none other than Jesus Christ Himself. And then Jesus gave the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit that was evident in His life to the disciples, and that it was that infilling that dramatically changed their lives and their ministry. We noted that the day of Pentecost wasn't just the birth of the church, it was the empowering of the church. Why? To enable them to carry out their mission to reach the lost and make disciples. I'm glad that Jesus didn't just give us a mission, but He also provides the power to enable us to carry out that mission. Can you say amen? You see, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The mission they had is still the same. It's still our mission. And our need for power is still the same. The same Spirit is still available for you and me. God's power has not gone out. The lights of heaven have not been turned off. Now, last week we focused on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. And perhaps you weren't able to be with us last Sunday morning, so let's do a quick review. We started in the book of Luke, volume 1 of Luke Acts, and we started in chapter 3. We were looking at Jesus' baptism, but we backed up a little bit in chapter 3, beginning in verses 15 and 16, where it's referring to John the Baptist. Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, the people who came out to the ministry of John the Baptist, it says they were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. But John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So now the day comes that Jesus comes down to John in the Jordan River. In verse 21, it says that when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. But notice here, this was far more than just Jesus being baptized in water in the Jordan River. Jesus was not only baptized in water, he was also baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because it says, as he was praying, heaven was open and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. You might notice, Bible students, that the Gospel of Luke is the only one who adds the words "in bodily form." Because Luke, beginning to establish the pattern of the empowering the anointing of the Holy Spirit, wants to point out and emphasize that this was more than just a baptism in water. This was Jesus receiving the anointing, the infilling, and the empowering of the Holy Spirit in his life. Jesus was filled with and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I submit to you that Jesus lived a Spirit-filled and empowered life. He ministered in and through the power of the Spirit. Jesus, yes, was the Son of God, but he left his power, he left his glory, he left his divine attributes behind when he came to this earth, took on human form, and was born as a man. And we know this because it says, "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" In verse 23, says that when Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began. Somebody say began. When he began his ministry. When did he begin his ministry? After he was empowered and infilled with the Holy Spirit. Before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he did no ministry. It was the power of the Spirit that enabled Jesus to teach and to minister and to perform miracles. And continue with the story. The next verses are the genealogy, and that's important, but they're parenthetical, if you will, and we can lift them out and follow the thread of the story that the next verse, after chapter 3, verse 23, is actually the first verse of chapter 1, where Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit descends on him in bodily form like a dove. And the next verse in the story, verse 1 of chapter 4, says Jesus full, somebody say full, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit returned from the Jordan. Where did he become full of the Holy Spirit? In the Jordan River when he was baptized in the Spirit. And he was led by the Spirit in the desert where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now we have to fast forward because we only have so much time today. You're going to be tired by 2 o'clock, so I need to hurry up. Verse 14. Well, verse 13 tells us that when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. But look at verse 14. Wow. Jesus returned to Galilee. What does it say? In the power of the Spirit. Where did he receive the power of the Spirit? When he was baptized in the Spirit in the Jordan River? And he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's led by the Spirit out into the desert for 40 days. He is victorious over the enemy, victorious in the temptation. Why? Because he's full of the Holy Spirit. My friends, you want to live in victory? Do you want to overcome the temptations of the enemy? Be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. So he returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He teaches in their synagogue. He goes to Nazareth on the Sabbath day. He's handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolls it and he finds the place where it is written. Verse 18. I'm already getting goose pimples. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me. Why? Because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is on him. To do what? To preach good news. To proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind. To release the oppressed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Because he's full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. And you can go on. And you can look at more of the ministry of Jesus. But we need to hurry into the next part of this. But we need to now go to the last chapter of volume 1. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Jesus is his earthly ministry is finished. He's about to ascend back up to heaven to the right hand of the Father. He appears to some of the disciples in Luke 24, and in verse 45, it says, he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Now watch it. You are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you. This just keeps getting gooder and gooder and gooder. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been, what? Clothed with power. Clothed with, somebody say power.
Power.
Clothed with power from on high. You see, Jesus gives them the mission. You're going to be my witnesses. Then he gives them the promise. The promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he gives them the provision to do the job, to fulfill the mission, the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the gift that Jesus had received, the anointing that filled his life, the power that he had, the infilling of the Holy Spirit that he had is now passed on from Jesus to the disciples. And then Acts volume 2 begins in Acts chapter 1 verses 4 through 8. Jesus' last words to his disciples before his ascension. While he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. What is the gift? The gift of the power, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. These are guys who were saved. I want you to understand that. These are the disciples, the apostles, the believers. They are saved. But he had more for them in addition to what they had already received. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They, like we, they got off on tangents. They get off on distractions, things that aren't really important. Things that are in God's hands, not up to us. We get all bent out of shape about all the dates and times of prophecy, but that's not what's most important. The mission that God has given us here and now to reach the lost is what really counts. So he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, you let God do God business and you do the business I've given you to do. Boy, is there a message for the church in there. But you receive power. See, this is what you ought to be looking at, church. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus gets the disciples back on track to focus on the important. Don't we need to do that? We need to get our focus back on what's important. Jesus, the mission, the Great Commission. He gets them to focus on their mission, and then he tells them about the power that is coming to fulfill the Great Commission. You see, friends, the gift of the Holy Spirit that was his now becomes theirs. The gift of the Holy Spirit that was his now becomes theirs. So the next thing we need to do, church, is we need to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles in the early church. And I hope you give me a few extra minutes this morning. How many will give me a few extra minutes? Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Acts chapter 2, the next thing that happens, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Somebody say fire. Tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Somebody say each. It wasn't a certain select group. It was all of them. See, the baptism, the power, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us. Not a select bunch of VIPs. All of them. Somebody say all. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What happened? The promise of Jesus is fulfilled. The gift has arrived. The same Spirit living and operating in Christ, the same power and the anointing that Jesus had now passes on to the church. And the disciples are forever changed. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And again, these are disciples, followers of Jesus. They're saved. They're born again. They had already received the indwelling Holy Spirit, but God had more for them. See, every believer, every Christian, at the moment of salvation, receives the indwelling Holy Spirit. But this is more. I don't know about you, and I don't want just enough. I want all I can get. I want more. So what happens? Chapter 2 continues, verse 38. Peter addresses the crowd that's there. And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000. The first harvest America in Jerusalem, first crusade, about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And then what happens next? Chapter 3, we already read the story. They come upon the lame man begging by the temple gate, and they say, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give us. What do we have? We have the power of the Holy Spirit residing in us. Woo! Such as we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. The power of power, the fullness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit is evident in their lives. And Peter and John are now taken before the religious council. They're in trouble because of what they did. They're called before the Sanhedrin. And in chapter 4, you can read this whole story, but in verse 8 of chapter 4, and I know I'm hurrying, but it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, rulers and elders of people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and everybody else in Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you completely healed. Salvation, verse 12, is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And when they saw the courage, where'd the courage come from? The infilling of the Holy Spirit. They saw the courage of Peter and John, realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. The believers pray for them. Verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Now they're praying. Go to verse 29 through 31. Here's their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now look at verse 31. And after they prayed, there was a Southern California earthquake. The place where they were meeting was shaken. I don't know where it registered on the Richter scale, but it was a big one. The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. You look at Stephen in chapter 7. And I'm going quickly, I know. Stephen, as many of you know, he was arrested. He was stoned to death for his faith. The story tells us in chapter 7, verse 54. When those around heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He was full of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, the believers are in Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. What did he see? He saw the power of God. He probably also saw and heard them speaking in tongues. The evidence that they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you look at Ananias and Saul, who had been persecuting the Christians, in chapter 9 and verse 17. Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Saul is converted. He becomes a Christian on the road to Damascus. But now Ananias, in Ananias' house, lays his hands on him, that he could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter goes to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 44. I love to hear those pages turning. While Peter was still speaking, I'm in chapter 10, verse 44. I know I'm going quickly. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." I'm almost done. Acts chapter 11. Peter and the Gentiles. Acts chapter 11. It says, "The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, 'You went into the house of circumcised men and ate with them.' And Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened." And he explains the vision that he had had. And then we pick it up in verse 15. And he says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift that as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" And one last scripture, chapter 19. Chapter 19, Paul is in Ephesus. It says, "While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples," again, believers, followers of Jesus. "He found some disciples and he asked them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they answered, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' So Paul asked them, 'Then what baptism did you receive?' 'John's baptism,' they replied. Paul said, 'John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied." You see, this whole story can be summarized with these words: to be continued. Do you ever watch one of those shows on TV? And you say, "Man, they only have 2 minutes left. There's no way they're going to wrap this thing up." And then you see those words flash on the screen: to be continued. Well, that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit that started, the fullness, the empowering of the Holy Spirit that started in the life of Jesus, then continued to the lives of the disciples in the early church and continues to us today. Again, I want to make clear as I draw this message to a close that all believers receive the indwelling Holy Spirit upon salvation. But there's more. The Bible is so clear. The pattern is so evident that there's more available to us after salvation. There's a special anointing, a special infilling, a special empowering of the Spirit. That Jesus had that anointing. Jesus operated in the power of the Spirit, and he promised that gift that the Father was going to send, and that gift was passed on to the disciples and the early church. And time after time after time, we read about it happening. But the pattern was to be continued. All the way up to you and me today. That what they received is still intended and still available for us today. And I want to close with some final points about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need to be clear about the purpose. The purpose of the baptism in the Spirit. It's not to be more spiritual. It's not to say, I'm a Pentecostal, are you? Are you as spiritual as I am because I've been filled with the Holy Spirit? Some people act like that. You see, friends, it's not about pride. It's about power. It's not about saying, I'm more spiritual than you are. No, it's really about saying, I'm humble enough to know that I need to seek all that God has for me. And I'm humble enough to know that I cannot do what God has called me to do without receiving the power that He has for me to enable me to carry it out. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit, is to enable you to live for Jesus, to empower you for witness and service, to live a victorious life in the anointing of the Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit brings the believer more boldness. We've read it over and over and over again in the early church. It brings boldness and courage. It brings a greater love for Jesus and for others. It brings a greater desire, a greater hunger, a greater thirst. It brings a greater devotion, a passion for God, and sets our hearts on fire. And the physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues as the Spirit enables. And we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit are for today. Now there's much more that I can say. Maybe I need to add on a part three later on as God directs me. But you've been gracious and patient with me enough today. So let me conclude. My friends, it comes down to this. We need all that God has for us. I sure do. We need everything that He has for us. And I believe with everything in my being that there's so much more. There's so much more that God has for us. There's so much more that God wants to do. He wants to do more in your life. And He wants to do more in this church. But it can only take place through the fullness and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We need to be the people of God. And we need to be on fire for God. Because there's people out there who need Jesus. And if we don't tell them, who will? If we don't reach them, who will? And if we're not full of the power of the Holy Spirit, how can we get the job done? Maybe what you're missing today is being full of the Spirit. Maybe what you're missing is a renewed passion by being full of the power of God. If Jesus needed the anointing and the empowering of the Spirit, how about you? He said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Wait until you have been clothed with power from on high. John baptized with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses across the street and around the world. If they needed to be filled with the Spirit, how about us? Church, we need to be a body of believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to get on fire for God again. We need to get passionate about serving Jesus again. We need to be filled with the power of the Spirit. If you've got filled up before, life runs your tank down. You need to be filled again. And people who are full of the Spirit, people who are living in the anointing and the power of the Spirit, aren't just bench warmers. They get in the game. And they serve God with their whole heart, with a renewed purpose and a renewed passion to win the lost at any cost. Have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Are you living in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you need a refill of the Spirit in your life today? Do you need to get filled up again? Stu's going to put on a song. I want to open these altars right now. I want to invite you to come. If you want more, come. If you need more, come. If you need all that God has for you, come. If you want to invite the power of the Spirit into your life, if you need to get full of the Spirit again, come. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, come. If you need to get re-baptized in the Spirit, come. If you need to seek the presence and power of God in your life, come. He's here for you. In His power, and His fullness, and His anointing. I want to get all that God has for me. How about you? Will you take a step? Will you come forward? Will you find a place in the presence of God? Prayer, and invite the fullness of the Spirit into your life.
Fullness of eternal promise, stirring in your sons and daughters, earth revealing heaven's wonders. Spirit come. What you spoke is now unfolding. Children shall behold it. Dreams awaken in this moment. Spirit come. Pour it out. Let your love run over. Here and now. Let your glory fill.
If you're full of the Holy Spirit, lay hands on somebody. Pray for them to become full of the Holy Spirit. This is a body effort. Let's pray one for another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Now the world awaits your presence. And this power is within. House, pour our King is soon returning. As we hold to this assurance, Spirit, come, Spirit, come, Spirit, come, Spirit, come, pour it out, let your love run over, here and now, let your glory fill this house, pour it out, let your love run over, here and now, let your glory fill this house. Tongues of fire, testifying of the Son, burn desire. Spirit come, Spirit come, speak revival. Prophesy like it is the one desire. Spirit come, Spirit come. Holy Spirit
control.